This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, the Mavericks last night get a victory despite Damian Lillard's 47 points. Luka and the bench come to the rescue. Kevin, Luka has 27 last night. Kristaps puts in 20 as well, and the Mavericks get another win. Right now, at the moment, they're fifth in the West, and that puts them facing Denver if they were to play in the playoffs, and that is not the team I want to play in the playoffs.
Sure.
But I just, again, love the opportunity to be in that conversation, especially with what Luka and this team is doing right now.
And the Mavericks' remarkably perplexing home versus road split continues, because this is the same Portland team that they lost to at home, and that was a game that I was at, that game where Dame took over in the third quarter and was like, I'm going to show you what's what, and he took over in this game as well, but it did not end up being the difference. So huzzah to the Mavericks for picking up a good win.
So I watched most of the rest of that game last night, starting like the second period last night, Kevin, and I'm surprised that they shot 46.8% from three. Because every time I looked up, it looked like the ball was bouncing off the back of the rim. And it looked like, I think at one point, Seth Curry missed like three in a row, but he was 4 for 7 last night from three.
So you saw the only three that he missed.
I'm looking at the numbers this morning and I'm saying, how? Because I saw Maxi Kleba miss three. Guess what? He was 2 of 5 last night. So yes, I guess the only times that I watched the game last night, they didn't hit their threes, because the rest of the time they were killing all of them. And that's the method and the model. Porzingis is shooting from 50 feet out. He's doing whatever it takes to get those points too. And again, they do what they need to do last night to get a win and walk away late. It looked like, oh my gosh, can we just end this game? That's just the Mavericks' MO, man.
So, and something else about the Mavericks' MO, and it continues to come up. You pointed out how well they shot from three. Do you realize if you removed Luka from that, they would have shot 56% from
three?
Yeah,
he was 2 of 11.
Night.
And that was another thing that
he's
I looked up.
He's a bad three-point shooter.
Every time I saw, he is bad, and he keeps throwing it up.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's because he can use that to set up more than anything else, right? Like, I have to show people that I'm going to do it, because they have to respect it at least. If I just go to the basket all the time and dish, I'm just old school Jason Kidd. But if I stand out here and shoot the three, because we're going to have so many possessions. We're going to have X possessions in a game. So, and Rick Carlisle says, if we get that many possessions, how many of them should be three-point shots? How many of them can we stand to miss, and how many times can we make up the points with that extra point rather than just going to the basket? So I get it, but you're right. At some point, when he gets locked in for 4 or 5 in a stretch, it's big time, because he can hit some big time shots. But throughout a game, taking 11 and missing 9 of them, not good enough right now. But he's in his second year, Kevin, and he is the youngest European player to ever make a starting role in the All-Star game for the NBA.
I think that is really exciting. Interesting, because we always talk about how these two are tied together. Trae Young, also named an All-Star starter. Did you know that this is just the second time in NBA history that multiple All-Star starters were selected and that were under the age of 22. Only other time it happened, Kobe Bryant and Kevin Garnett in 1998. So that's a pretty sweet combination to be associated with. You have one of the greatest players of all time along with Kobe. So yes, yes.
Wow, shots fired at Kobe.
Couldn't help it. So, I mean, I think it's terribly exciting. Obviously, I wish that he would have been captain so we could start rigging the free agent process, but that's just not in the cards. However, after last year, when he didn't quite make it as a starter, and
he can still rig it.
Well, that's probably true.
He can still
true.
Rig it.
We would have been in more captain. Control of it this time, right, but no, you're right.
He can still rig it, though. But Luka, I know you're listening.
I mean, I think this will be a great opportunity to get FaceTime in front of a lot of these players, and I'm very excited for him, and there's no question he obviously deserves to be a starter.
Somebody asked what LeBron James' three-point percentage was. His second year was 35%. And that's better than Luka's right now, isn't it?
Yes, Luka is shooting 32%. But the other thing, because I want to double check.
He's LeBron's like a career 34% shooter.
I think that also misses the point. Is do you know how many three-pointers LeBron was shooting that year? He was shooting 4 per game. Luka's shooting 9 per game.
Yeah.
So that's the problem, is it's not just the percentage, it's how many you shoot. If Luka was shooting 4 three-pointers a game and 32%, I'd be like, okay, well, I hope it gets better. Like, he doesn't. He shoots a lot, and he shoots them poorly. That's a bad combination. And right now, that's the only, like, hole in his game.
But I don't know if it's a problem. Because they're winning. They're winning games. And you know what? It spaces the floor. It gives other shooters big-time opportunities to make threes. Somebody said he also has to create for every three-pointer he gets. That's because he's got possession. He is the possession hoarder.
Yes.
And so he does have to create. But what does he do? He is able to create for other people at the same time. So I think it's, Kevin, you know, I know you're looking at the number and saying it's not efficient. Because we're used to Dirk Nowitzki efficiency. And, you know, you may even look around the league and say some of these guys are far more efficient three-point shooters. But when it comes down to when does he hit a shot, when does he make a shot, when does he make the decisions, and I know we disputed the other night on Hardaway's decision, but whenever he makes those decisions, that's going to be what it comes down to, and when he makes the right shot. I think the rest of it is, hey, just go out there and be part of this to space the floor even more so we can get some of these other guys some big shots, because you have to think about doubling Luka Doncic most nights, right? And so if he's at back there shooting threes from 40 feet away and he connects on one, then what's going to happen? That other guy's going to have to come out and just help out just a little bit, giving Dorian Finney-Smith enough time in the corner to get a shot off.
Yeah, see, I don't know if that's how it's going to play out. I think some teams are going to start to, at some point, to dare him. You know, like, go ahead.
Fine, then I'll take it to the basket.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. He's got those things, and that's what he does. He says, okay, he watches that. He does both of those things, and I think shooting from out there allows that, Kevin. That's what I'm saying is it's like a poker player. You know, it's a bluff. It's a tell, and they're saying, okay, we're going to do it, and once he recognizes it, that's when he goes. And again, Kevin, he's an all-star. They're winning right now. It's something to be excited about.
Yeah,
Here, Kevin, is, again, just hating on Luka, who just made the all-star game last night, yeah. And I don't even know what to do anymore.
Can we just celebrate and just talk about how awesome all of his stuff is?
I want to celebrate Luka making the all-star game, but I want to backtrack on something you said, because you said it a couple times, and it's not entirely accurate. And you get this from the 469. Who cares? We're winning, dumbass. But yeah, you should care because, well, first of all, you shouldn't call names. But if you pay closer attention to what's happening to the Mavericks, they're not really winning, well, and definitely not anywhere near the way they were. I'm just saying, they started out the season 16-6. In their last 22 games, which is the same sample size as how they started, they're 12-10. And that even includes a 4-game win streak. They're still, and last night, a 4-game win streak and last night, they're still just 12-10 in that same spot. So I don't just want people to be like, hey, they're winning. That's awesome. But don't you want them to be winning more? Corey, you always tell me, make 100% of your free throws. So I'm saying, go out with a game plan that can win you 100% of the games. Surely you got to support that.
I question you with this, Kevin.
What?
In the last 6 games, what's their record?
Yeah, 5-1.
Answer the question.
I just did.
All right. That's all I asked you to do.
Okay. So ignore that it was losing.
In the last 6 games, gotcha. What is their record?
Gotcha.
5-1.
All right.
All right. You went back too far.
Okay. So don't worry about the 16-game sample.
No.
Worry about the 6.
What have they done lately?
Okay.
You always say that in Are You Better?
Gotcha.
What have you done for me lately?
I don't even remember.
You also say
that
better anymore.
Actually, in the last game, Kevin, what was the in the last game, what's our most recent sample size?
That Luka couldn't shoot the 3.
Oh my god. Sorry.
No, in all seriousness, then that is just something I want him to tweak. Because, like, legitimately,
I think we all do.
That looks like the only hole in his game right now. He's freaking phenomenal. I'm going to say that for the record so people don't lose their mind too much. And he 100% deserves to be an all-star starter.
Does he deserve better? Does he deserve to be the captain? Or is it not time to hand over that torch yet?
I think perhaps he does deserve it over LeBron this year.
Interesting. LeBron's team has a better record.
Yeah, and
LeBron's numbers are still solid, man.
And that's the weird thing, because like if you judge it on that, then it goes to LeBron. If you judge it on efficiency, the top two most efficient players in the league are Giannis and James Harden. Which seems weird because I know people have this preconceived notion about James Harden, the most efficient player that's ever lived since Kobe. And then it's Luka.
Does that still put Luka behind Giannis then?
Yes.
Interesting. Will he be able to overtake him in popularity and actually being a considered MVP type?
I would say you'd be at least a year away, because to overtake him in popularity, I think you would need to drop Giannis on a big stage. So like, let's say next year the Mavericks made it to the finals against the Bucks and the Mavericks won, and like you would think Luka would be the MVP. Then I think you could switch it. But as it stands right now, the odds of the Bucks getting to the NBA Finals are significantly higher than the Mavericks, and so it's going to be tough to slow down his popularity. So I'd probably say you're still a good year or two away from being able to make that a reality.
Okay, the teams that were selected out of the West and the East, though, Kevin, like that's a pretty phenomenal grouping of basketball players. When you start to look at who actually made it, who actually gets those starting nods, and Trae Young being involved in that too is pretty remarkable in the East. But the names from the Western Conference, would you take this basketball team against any other basketball team that you possibly could?
Yes.
And that is LeBron, Anthony Davis, Kawhi, Luka, and Harden.
Yes. Look, I mean, go through the name one more time.
LeBron.
Yep.
Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. Kawhi, Luka, and Harden.
Okay, so wouldn't you argue that those are five of the six best players in the league?
Aside from Giannis? Yes.
So there you go. Like
it's remarkable how talented that team is right there.
I mean, I wish I had Giannis, but if you told me, but you can have everybody else. I'll take
Who would you take Giannis over in that group? You better not say Luka.
Probably Anthony Davis, because I think you could swap.
All right, that's a good answer.
I think you could swap those players maybe the best, because they all have different like skill sets, but I think maybe you could swap those guys.
All right, without considering skill set, who would experience-wise and...
Kawhi, because I don't think he'd play. Because he'd be like, this game doesn't count, so I'm going to load manage this game.
Luka, from the 2-1-0, Luka's free throw shooting is by far his biggest flaw. I've yet to hear y'all mention. Now, we've talked about that, too. His lack of efficiency in the three is a big concern. But, yeah, when it comes to late-time free throws, he has not been great all the time. And I would like to see him be better for sure.
Look, if you're looking for things to fix in the second half of the season, I would say... the Mavericks' inability to protect home court, becoming a mediocre late-game team. They're the worst late-game team in the NBA. If you become even mediocre, you're going to be looking fantastic. And then Luka becoming more efficient from the three. Those would be the three things that immediately jumped to mind.
Could Dak Prescott play for this team, Kevin? The
Cowboys?
Chicago Tribune put out a story, and the headline was, "Who will be the Bears' backup to Mitch Trubisky?"
What?
And they said, it said Dak, Eli. It had a bunch of names up there. Fitzpatrick.
Eli's retiring like right now.
And I was like, this is insane. And then I went through and looked at this list. I heard Mike Fisher talk about it this morning, Kevin. And basically they listed all of the potential free agents. And I was like, if you're signing any of these, because Tom Brady's on there, Dak's on there, Drew Brees is on there.
Nice.
Those guys are going to be starters over Trubisky. There's no way you would... There's no way Chicago would get Dak Prescott and say, you're the backup. No.
I don't know
why. They would be done with Trubisky.
The only list that it should say is who should be the Bears' backup is it should be Trubisky, right?
Yes. I just love that Fish brought it up this morning with Shot at RJ because it was pretty hilarious.
That is tremendous. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Amari Cooper says nothing would surprise him about the franchise tag, plus your first chance on this show to win $1,000.
Right now?
coming up.
Wait, next.
Oh my God. I thought it was next. Right now.
Like, which next?
I'll wait.
Or maybe I'll do it in the commercial break. You never know. Only one way to find out.
Can't wait for these commercials.
Keep toloing right here at 105.3 The Fan.
Okay.
I'd like to see some fan texts real quick, Kevin, from Tolos that listened at night or have heard this show before and are now listening as well. I want to see something because at the end of this segment, I'm going to make an announcement that I think that KNC Master Peep listeners are going to be very excited about. So let me know how long you've been listening to the show, when you started listening to the show, and why you listened to the show. If you're just waiting for hot takes about Luka from Kevin, or if you're just waiting for Kevin to say that he's better than Luka, just let us know, because at the end of this segment, I may have an interesting announcement for you. Now, Kevin, Amari Cooper says nothing would surprise him regarding a franchise tag. He was asked about potentially being franchise tagged during this offseason. And I know a lot of people, I think that maybe the usage of the franchise tag for Dak is less likely now, do you think it's more likely?
No, yeah, I would say probably less.
Okay, because you think the Cowboys can come to terms with saying we fully understand this is our quarterback, we don't need to do this?
That seems to be the priority.
And don't you want to stay out of the mold that the Kirk Cousins thing went? Where he gets to a point where it's an absurd $57 million.
Yeah, which could in just 2 years.
Crap. Just go ahead and sign him to the contract and maybe use the franchise tag for Amari Cooper.
Sure.
I understand that nothing would surprise him. It makes a lot of sense because the Cowboys have lots of options. There are lots of moving parts in what's being presented, I bet. And then the other thing that we brought up with Broadus the other day, and we discussed this with him, and Jeff Kavanaugh, and that is the idea, the possibility of just moving on, using that money to distribute for other players. Now, Chris Jones' name was brought up, Kevin, and how do you feel about that player himself?
As long as it's the defensive lineman and not the punter, then I'm great with that.
It is the defensive lineman.
Just wanted to be sure.
It would be his value, from what I heard Choppy say this morning, $19 million. His approximate value. So do you want to add another $19 million to your defensive line?
See, I think I might, that's where I'm willing to sacrifice Amari or Byron for it. And I feel like I've been pretty upfront about this, is I would love it if we could keep both of them. But if you had to make a sacrifice to beef up your defensive line, then I would be willing to sacrifice one of those people.
Okay. All right. So that is, and then now I'm thinking, okay, maybe we didn't have the money to go get Earl Thomas before, but is there a safety that's available now? You know, it may be, Kevin, we didn't have the funds to get Jamal Adams. And I'm not saying I'm ready and prepared for this draft, because if I move on from Amari, then I need to have a new receiver and like one of these guys that's coming up in the draft at 17.
Right.
I'd love to have somebody like that.
Well,
so I can't go get Jamal Adams for something like that.
I guess I might say perhaps you could, because Jamal Adams costs you draft capital for sure. He doesn't cost you a ton of money, though. So what if you got to keep Amari Cooper and could get Jamal Adams?
Okay.
So, like, obviously you'd lose your first round pick, among other things.
Which means if I franchise tagged Amari,
which you could,
then I need to be ready next year's draft to go get a receiver or add somebody soon.
Or in the meantime, you might find yourself in a position where once again, then you could get the long-term deal done with Amari.
Okay.
The franchise tag, I know a lot of people think franchise tag means like you're only going to be here for one more year and then maybe two more years and you're definitely going to leave, but it doesn't always have to be that way. So I guess theoretically, now obviously it would cost you a lot of draft capital, but the good thing is, now draft picks are a lot more valuable than they were mid-season. Because mid-season, when you were, you know, running through things with Jamal Adams, draft picks are, you know, that's nice. But like now, you're on the cusp of the draft. These become real players at a time where the draft is one of the primary ways to improve your team. So your draft picks are worth a lot more, so maybe it'll cost less draft capital than we previously thought. So I think you could absolutely trade for Jamal Adams and keep Amari Cooper. I don't know that that's the route they would go. In fact, I'm guessing that would not be the route that they would go, but you could.
Okay, all right. Then, and so that's interesting to me, because I am in favor of moving on from the receiver.
Okay.
Adding one this offseason in the draft because I believe that Michael Gallup can beat number one cornerbacks.
Starting next year. Okay.
I think he benefited huge from having Amari all over the field. I get it. I totally get it. And maybe, I don't know if the Cowboys feel the same way about that. I think that they're just like, hey, give me all the talent. Let's just, and that's been my motto for a long time, but I also need talent on defense right now. I feel like I need talent on defense because my offense, I feel like, can move the ball, but my defense can't get the ball back to them. So that's why I need to figure out how to use the money appropriately to beef up my defense. And maybe it is the draft, but man, I'm sitting here. You have to streamline and make things simple for young players.
And the other thing we always throw out about the draft, and like I very much support all of the stuff that you guys do to prep for the draft and all the knowledge that y'all bring to the table, Corey. But sometimes we go off of this weird assumption that everybody you're going to draft is just going to be awesome straight away. You know, like we even talked, what Kavanaugh said the other day, if you're expecting like two high-level contributors straight out the gate, like that's a pretty high bar. So sometimes it frustrates me that people are like, oh, just get in the draft and that'll fix all your problems. Like that can absolutely fix your problems.
In the future.
Yes, but you can't just expect everybody you draft to swing in here and be like, problem solved. Whereas I know these players can play.
But I think you should approach it that way, Kevin. You should try to make all of your shots.
I mean, sure. I agree with that. But if that is what you're pinning your strategy on, you are going to fail.
Yeah, no, it's very tough to find that many players that are NFL ready anyway and understand, man, I think I always love the Bill Parcells approach to that. Hey, can we just let him find his way to the hotel room first?
Yeah.
On the road. Like some of these guys come into it and they're like, man, I've never done this. And so they don't have a rhythm. They don't have anything that kind of sets, okay, what they're supposed to be. The other thing too is, all right, so if I'm going to invest that first round pick in a wide receiver, Kevin, all right, what am I going to do at safety? You know, like, am I going to, and now I'm missing out on Xavier McKinney, or now I'm missing out on Grant Delpit. I'm missing out on the potential of having one of those guys, or maybe a Javon Kinlaw, you know, who is a defensive tackle who could be really, really good. And Will McClay said, maybe we beef up at that position. Maybe we beef up in the middle on a guy that can play not only defensive tackle in the one technique, but can also play on the nose too and do something like that. You got to find those kinds of guys because I think this defense is going to be flexible.
Well, then, I mean, and we can confirm this further with Hellman at 11 and Broaddus at 12-20, but I think you're in a position where you could get your defensive tackle, you could get your Delpin or whoever your safety of choice is in the first round and still pick up a top-notch wide receiver in the second round. This is wide receiver galore in this.
This is the deepest wide receiver group we've seen in a long time.
Exactly.
In the draft.
And so like maybe you don't love it and you don't feel comfortable with that. And you're like, no, I need a CD Lamb or, you know, Judy or whoever it is. And you think it's got to be that guy. But there's value to be had in the second round at receiver for sure. So I think like you might be playing it a little dangerously. But quite frankly, maybe the Cowboys do need to do something a little bold, a little daring. And you let Amari walk. Then you have money to keep Byron for sure, to keep Dak, to keep. You know, if you want to keep Robert Quinn, you still get your tackle or safety in the first round, your wide receiver in the second round. Then, of course, you just have to hope they pan out. Because, like I said, that doesn't always work.
From the 3-5-2, shore up the D-line, ball hawks in the secondary, and a blocking catching tight end. I don't even need a blocking tight end, to be honest. I'll be very honest about that. Give me a guy that can block occasionally and can catch. That's what I want. I want a guy that I can send downfield. That can be a playmaker in the passing game. Because if he can do that, I'm sure I can convince him to be a blocker as well. All right, Kevin, I'm turning something over to you that I never do.
Oh, my God. Is it time?
Now, Shippy was stuck in the elevator earlier today. And are you okay?
I'm still shook. That was crazy. I really thought I was not going to make the beginning of the show.
Are you okay right now?
Like, oh yeah, I'm great.
All right. Were you physically hurt in the elevator?
No, I was just stuck.
Were you scared? Like, were you scared that you were going to be stuck there forever?
Well, I didn't really know what to do, so I rang the bell a few times.
Did you sit down on the floor?
No, I didn't get to that point yet, but I was starting to think about that point, and then I was just like, well, I guess I should probably go Facebook Live on 105.3 The Fan, you know, the Facebook page, 105.3 The Fan. Like, you should probably like the page while I'm talking about it. just in case I get stuck on the elevator and go live. But, dude, no, I was actually pretty concerned there for a minute.
There you go. So, Kevin, I know, and we could spend the rest of the segment talking about Shippy on the elevator if you want.
We could. No,
I don't think we need to do that. What do we have?
We could talk tennis, baby. Wait, are you guys excited?
What?
Come on. What? Y'all don't want to talk about tennis? Americans are doing things out there.
Explain to me what's going on with American tennis.
All right. Wait, now that you mention America,
yeah.
I have
patriot pride.
You need to catch the fever right here, right now, because of the return.
Corey's a big Tom Brady fan.
Oh, that's out of it.
Coco Mania is back. Coco Gauff overnight. 6'3", 6'4", over the number 3 seed, Naomi Osaka.
6'3" or 6'4"?
No. Those are the scores of the matches.
I think we should go back to elevator talk.
15 years old.
What? A 15-year-old?
And remember, she's the one who set the world on fire with her. She beat Venus Williams at Wimbledon. She was looking good at the U.S. Open. She is now one of the.
What do you mean looking good?
Okay, come on, dude.
Oh.
She's 15, not okay. So she's looking good in tennis, all right? She's a great tennis player.
Oh, okay.
She's the youngest woman to beat a top five opponent since 1991 when fellow American Jennifer Capriati got the job done. And
you were in love with Jennifer Capriati for a long time.
Yes, absolutely I was, and that was age appropriate because she was older than I was. I want to make that very, very clear.
Just like me and Ariel back in the day.
Okay, I don't know about any of that.
You know, why don't we have music on our elevators?
Okay,
that would have helped.
We're gonna have to get back to that. I'm gonna have to get your mind right. I'm very concerned about this.
All right, so is she taking over the world now, or is
I feel like she is because she already Coco Mania went wild at the end of last year, and now she might make a run at the Australian Open, especially since one of the next great American hopes got bounced in Serena Williams. Serena Williams lost overnight, and she said, "I thought I was gonna win." Because she said she played a little differently against somebody that she had already smoked last year at the Australian Open. And she goes, look, I thought I was going to win. Even when I made it to the third set, I was like, let's take care of this and let's go home. And then she lost. And it almost looked like there would be another shocking loss as John Millman was about to beat Roger Federer. He was up and then Roger Federer.
Always delivering your mill.
Roger Federer won 6 straight points in the 5th set tiebreaker to stay alive. So Fed moves on. Serena's done. But I'm telling you guys, time to catch the fever with Coco Gauff. She's American. She's only 15 years old, and she's taking over the world of tennis.
What would I do if I like had to pee, but I didn't have anything to pee in, and I was stuck on earlier?
From the 972, did Kevin start speaking Latin? What are you guys talking about? What is the college basketball segment?
Hold on. I love college basketball, but nobody cares about that.
All right, so real quick for Kevin, I saw tons of people text in when they started listening to the KNC Masterpiece. A lot of people have been with us for a long time.
What do we got?
A lot started listening on the weekend, and they've made it to now, and they're still listening. What's really great is how many people I've seen say, I just started listening during football season, and you guys are my favorite show. I really appreciate people that had never heard us before and were like, wow, I really like these guys. Thank you very much for sticking with us. Y'all are Tolos. Y'all make this thing run. We appreciate it. So what we're going to do today.
I really liked Andre Agassi when he played.
We are bringing something back. What? We are bringing back a segment later on this afternoon. So you're going to have to listen for it. We are bringing back Are You Better?
What do you mean?
You remember Are You Better, Shippy, when you were working nights with us? We will do that segment today.
What?
Yes, I'm bringing it back for you.
Oh, man. As if that didn't make your day better enough. How about if you had the chance to win
$1,000? Get some money.
Right now, text virtual to 72881. That's virtual to 72881. Your chance to win $1,000 every single weekday, every single hour. A new word, the word right now. Virtual to 72881.
It would suck to get stuck on an elevator and not have games on your phone.
Coming up next, but sure descent of Shippy into madness.
On an elevator.
But also, Kyle Shanahan has us wondering, what's the most important thing you've ever lost? Was it your sanity in an elevator? We'll discuss next on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up at 11 o'clock, we're going to get in with David Hellman and talk to him about what he saw at the Senior Bowl. Kevin, the news coming out last night that the Padres are interested in working a deal with the Boston Red Sox. As a matter of fact, they've had discussions about trying to get Mookie Betts.
The Rangers should try to get him.
That's exactly what I wanted to ask you guys. Are y'all? Do you think that the Rangers need to throw their hat in this ring, or are they completely invested in the Nolan Arenado deal and they can't pick up the phone right now?
I mean, if they are, that seems like terrible management. Mookie Betts is a damn fine player, and if you can't try to... I mean, like, this seems like the ideal time to try to run parallel deals and offer this to the Red Sox, offer this to the Rockies, see if you get more traction from one, then out of the other, and then go from there.
Yeah, I won't say that they're doing that, so that's not terrible management. I think JD's great. I think he does a very good job at what he does, but... You're right. The mindset has to be, how do we find some leverage here? Because Colorado's asking for the world right now for a guy that doesn't want to play for them. So how can we find some leverage in some way? I still think the Rangers have had the Chris Bryant thing kind of in their pocket if they really wanted to go after it, but it doesn't seem like they're that interested in it because of his grievance thing and some of the other situations that are going on there. But if Mookie Betts is available, is he a better player than Nolan Arenado?
Yes. However, the massive difference is going to be how long you get to keep him. So,
and position. I mean, like you need a third baseman.
You do. That is true. Look, I'll make room for somebody as good as Mookie Betts on my team. But the biggest issue is, and I know Nolan Arenado has an opt-out in his contract in 2 years, but Mookie Betts is only under contract for one more year, and he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. And the idea is that he's going to ask for all the money in the universe, and that's why the Red Sox would even consider doing this. But in Mookie Betts, you've got a player that is freaking awesome, and... He's been in the league 6 years. The last 4 years, he's been top 10 in MVP. So the voting's gone like this. Second, sixth, first, and eighth. He's also gold glove every single one of those years.
You have a logjam in the outfield.
You do. But he's not a logjam. He's the log. All right. Everybody else can figure it out after him. He is your outfield.
The 940. What if Betts is only that good because of the Cora help?
Oh man, I didn't really. I mean, but he was good before that. So when Cora got there and he won MVP, but even before that, he was second and sixth in MVP. So I will say I do not believe that is the case.
From
but
the 469,
that's
scary. How good is Betts when he doesn't know what pitch
okay,
is coming?
Okay, and see, I get that, and that's fair, and that did make me kind of take a step back. And it is true that
he
when
would probably
Cora
take a step back
there,
if he knew that a fastball was coming at his head. Right?
All right. And it is true that he kind of went even to the next level when Cora got there, but he was still really good before
that. The 817, Mookie loves bowling and is really good. Arlington has the International Training and Research Center right next to the ballpark. Entice him via bowling. Well, I mean, it's a trade with the Red Sox. So
No, but you need him to re-sign because you're only going to make that deal for all the assets they're going to want if he's going to stay. So that person is right. You are going to have to convince him to stay. I love it. That's a great idea. Whoever texted that in, you're an effing genius. Thank you.
Hey, come over here and go to the bowling place.
Yes,
with this.
I hope JD, that was not you. I hope JD
you don't know that.
Is listening right now, and he's like, that is a great idea.
I will say this too. The other thing that showed up today, Sean and RJ made the announcement this morning. John Blake was on last night to talk about it. The Rangers and 105.3 The Fan have agreed to a multi-year contract extension. So we're going to be working with the Rangers as the home of the Rangers for quite some time. And I'm very excited about that, man, because...
Especially since they're going to get Mookie Betts. Yeah, is that
well,
what you're about
maybe,
to say?
Maybe, but with the new stadium opening and the look forward to spring training and going out to Surprise and talking with Chris Woodward, once a week, man, or every day if we can.
It won't be the same without Delino.
It won't be the same without Delino, though.
Yeah.
What's the biggest thing you've ever lost? And when I say big, I'm not actually talking in size.
My dignity.
Most valuable thing you've ever lost. 877-881-1053. Here's the reason I'm asking that. Last year, Kyle Shanahan, or not last year, a couple of years ago, Kyle Shanahan was in the Super Bowl with the Atlanta Falcons. And I don't know if everybody remembers this story or not, but his backpack went missing. Now, clearly, that is evidence that the Patriots were cheating, right?
Sure.
Like, clearly that's the evidence. I mean, how do you blow a 28-3 lead without, you know, without somebody having information on you?
Mm.
It turned out that a San Francisco Examiner writer, Art Spander, was the guy who had a
used to do a night show here.
No, not Arnie Spanier. Was the guy who accidentally picked up the backpack that was below the feet of Kyle Shanahan.
Oh.
He was interviewing him, and he was sitting in a chair, and they both had very similar backpacks, and Spander just picked up the bag and walked off and started doing his thing. And Kyle Shanahan was like, "Where did my bag go?" He said he started panicking, and the Patriots were coming in to do like their interview media time because the Falcons were already done. And he was still there, and he's looking all over the place, and people are like asking him for interviews, and he was like, "I hated to blow people off.
Got to find that backpack."
But I'm panicking trying to find my backpack. I knew on my iPad that it was encrypted and there are passcodes and nobody could get into it, but I'm freaking out at this point because I had $30,000 worth of Super Bowl tickets in that backpack.
Oh, my God.
So he's sitting there with $30,000 of Super Bowl tickets missing. He's less concerned about his playbook, which is on an iPad in his backpack, and more concerned about the $30,000 in Super Bowl tickets. Now, that being said, Art Spander, who's a longtime columnist for the San Francisco Examiner, is now covering Shanahan with the 49ers.
Oh, no!
But he said he wouldn't give the backpack back at first because he had to prove that it was his. And so he made him like prove that it was his before he gave him $30,000 in tickets and the offensive game plan back. What's the most valuable thing that you've ever lost?
So I put some thought into this, and it was the value, but also the circumstances that make this the most valuable thing I ever lost.
You said stances.
It was my wallet in Minnesota.
What?
So
with your kid?
Yep. So we were up in Minnesota for a summer vacation, and we'd gone to the mall it was the Mall of America, so come on. And so we are going to the Twins game after that. Pull up to the parking lot, reach in to get my wallet, and it's not there. And I start to freak out, and I told it, like, I had to back out. And I was like, "I'm sorry, I don't have my wallet, so I don't have any money." And he goes, "You know what? That's okay. You can still park here." And I was like, "Oh, that's really nice. But I'm not about to park at the baseball game where I'm going to be for the next 3 or 4 hours not knowing where my wallet is, because I'm thinking, like,
are you going to get hot dogs?"
Well, not only that, and like, because there was a bunch of cash in there, but like, also your credit cards, your ID. And then that was the other thing I was thinking. Well, how the hell am I going to get home? Like, we're going to fly home. They're not going to let me on the plane without my ID.
That's true.
And I'm just going to be like, "Say, I'm Kevin from the radio."
Yeah, just trust me. So I'm thinking,
I tried that once. They wouldn't let me on without my ID.
Exactly. And so I'm like, so I'm not going to have any money. I'm not going to have my ID to get back on the plane. I freaked out, man. And we tore out of there, made it back to the mall, and we thought we knew the store that I would have left it in. And I like ran in there, and the guy looked right at me and he goes, "Did you leave your wallet here?" And I was like, "I did. Did you find it?" Like, disproportionately loud. And he goes, "I did. Can you tell me what it looks like?" And then I was able to tell him exactly what it looked like. And he goes, "Okay, here you go." I was like, "Oh, thank God."
Did he take all your money out?
He
of
did
it?
Not. He didn't take any did of the money him? Out. Ah, man, I thought about it.
That's the appropriate thing to do, right, Shippy? Is to kiss the man.
I mean, I thought about it.
If it's Kevin in the situation.
I really thought about it in that moment. I would have picked him up, bear hugged him, whatever, but I freaked out. And so I was so happy. And then I made it back to the same spot, and we made it to the game, and everything was okay.
Shippy?
When I was a little kid, I lost like a wallet that was super special to me in New Mexico, but I ended up getting it back later. But other than that, I really don't lose like valuable things other than my phone one time in a river. That sucked. But other than that, like
at the time,
huh?
Were you living in a van at the time? Down
I
by the
wasn't.
River?
Actually, I was with a really highly touted prospect for the Blue Jays, I think.
The A's.
For the A's, yeah. No, but I lose stuff like for little periods of time. Like every single day, Lucius like will walk over here and hand me my phone charger because I left it somewhere in here. Like while
that's
I'm loading
super valuable,
cheeses.
Man.
It is super valuable. And so I'll just lose stuff like that. So my life is a constant game of like, where's your phone charger, and also where did you park your car at work?
I've had at least 7 texts come in, Kevin. 877-881-1053 on the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Their virginity.
Nice.
That is valuable.
Wow.
Somebody said they
looking for it?
They had a buddy lose an ounce of
marijuana.
Weed. Yes, in their backpack.
You can say that.
Had a $3,500 Les Paul stolen from me. That's a guitar,
oh,
Kevin.
Oh, no. I knew that.
They lost my wife at the fair. Wait, you said valuable. Whoa! Wow!
What would be worse, losing your wife at the fair or losing your wife to an affair?
Mine? Ooh, in my situation, just losing my wife in general would suck. She's so much better than I am at everything. From the 682, I got in a fight with my ex before I got a divorce and threw my wedding ring down the street. I couldn't find it the next morning.
Oh, no.
In my situation, my dad had a Mickey Mantle 8x10 autograph photo, and we can't find it.
Oh, no.
We turned my grandmother's house upside down and could never find that thing. So that, like, that's that. How valuable do you think that is? $7-8 billion.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. So there you go. That's that one right there is.
Oh man, that hurts.
From the 469, the most valuable thing I lost was the chance to celebrate my team winning a World Series when Nelson.
All right. No. From the 903, I lost 7 cows once.
What?
But I didn't really lose them. Some jerk stole them. All right. That's tremendously unique.
Hey, we have some ranchers out there, Shippy.
Oh, I love ranchers.
So.
Especially Jolly Ranchers.
Okay. From the 972.
They're all just happy and farming.
I lost my TCU class ring, but whatever. Like, I like how quickly that person rolled with the punches. I need to adopt that attitude because I get really upset about things like that. And they're like, it's fine.
From the 972, lost my Dallas Cowboys snapback that my grandma gave me for my birthday when I was 18. I was kind of dumb. It was kind of a dumb move. I was drunk and stuck my head out of the sunroof in my buddy's car.
Classic.
And it flew away.
Oh.
That's the stuff that sucks to lose, is where it's when it's got like sentimental meaning like that.
Absolutely.
And not like the monetary value.
Yeah, absolutely. Because those things are priceless.
Yeah. Right.
Or worthless. Oh. Either one.
What are you doing?
I'm just kidding.
Biggie.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with Dave Hellman. He just got back from the Senior Bowl. Let's get some insights on who the Cowboys just might draft. We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.